chapter number 8. I want to go back a few chapters just for a few minutes this evening, as God would let me. But the thought I stems from Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now that we're saved, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's a saying of being saved. You're in Christ Jesus. This is the very next part of this verse tells of the walk of someone who is in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, our walk has changed. Our walk has changed. Now, before I get into some of these verses, look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. That's you that's saved. Made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life that we have in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. That law that we were under before God saved us. We have that victory now. We have great victory, and we're still waiting on the supreme victory in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, the victory, ultimate victory over death, hell, and the grave. The consummation of our salvation, of what has taken place in our life. Because we still have this body. That's the part of you and I that's not saved. Trying to live the life of the inner man, the man that you and I are, the spirit man. Now to follow after him. He has been made alive. He's been quickened. He is saved. He is sealed. Amen. He has been made righteous. He's been made right to follow after him and not after this man. Now we have in our possession victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory to walk after the inner man and not after this man. But therein is the struggle of the Christian life, isn't it? Now, I thought about some of the things that we have victory over and how we walk, and the Lord tells us about how we walk, how we live now that we're saved, the victory that we have. In verse 1 of chapter number 6, he said, what shall we say then? Shall we that are saved, continue in sin, that grace may abound? Why? Because chapter 5, he said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But are we going to continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And throughout these next few chapters, the Apostle Paul tries to get us to see what it means for you and I to be dead to sin. He said that you and I have died with Christ. And that we've died with him, then we've risen with him. Well, if I'm a raised being, then I don't have to die anymore. I've already died. And if I died unto sin once, then I don't have to live unto that anymore. We are resurrected in a new life, aren't we? Surely we are. We're resurrected a new life. We have been raised together with him. Now listen, he said, how shall we that are dead to sin, he wants us to know, now that's our position, live any longer therein, live, and that's our daily walk, living, how we are living, God wants you and I to know that the way you and I think has a lot to do with the way we live. And if I feel like, well, you know, I'm just it's bound to happen, you know, then yeah, it's bound to happen. But he said, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. That's what happened when you got saved. You were baptized into Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into his death. Everything about Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, we were baptized into Christ. Now, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus died on the cross. They took him down after he was dead, after he had gave up the ghost. They wrapped him. They took him to a tomb. They laid him in the grave. 3 days later, he got up. A glorified body. Christ, our Lord. A body that could seemingly hide who he was to them that knew him, yet be right with them. He could be right next to them, talking to them, and they could not see that it was him. That's that glorified body. And then in an instant, reveal himself unto them. He did to the women. He did to the apostles. He walked through the wall of the room. Appeared in their midst. You know all that. Bible students know all that. A glorified body. A newness of life. That's what he's talking about for us. We should walk in newness of life, a new life, different from the one before. That's a work of grace in our life. I can't do that. I can't do that, Brother Mike. I could not, as a sinner, I could go, I could try to be religious, I could try to straighten up, I could cut my hair, start wearing a suit, start carrying a Bible, but I could not walk a new life. I would still be the same old man because there's no new life there. I could put on like there's new life, but there is really no new life there. When he talks about newness of life, he's talking about that work of grace. There's something new there, Brother Danny. There's something different there. There's a love that God puts in us that's it's not of man. It's absolutely not of it. And it's not in man. It's not in woman to have that newness of life. We cannot produce it. That light, that salt, that true life that only God can give to somebody when he raises them from the dead. They walk in newness of life. Being in Christ. Put in Christ. Well, You can't be put in Christ and not be made different. Look who he is. And you and I are now being made into his image. Why? Because we're in him. A new man. A new man. So newness of life. We have victory to walk in newness of life. Not the same old life. To walk in newness of life. Take a different path. When you're saved, start taking a different path. Don't go to the same dives. Don't do the same things. Why? You're walking in newness of life. You don't go to the gyp joints anymore. Amen? That's not a place for God's people. You don't go to the dance halls anymore. You don't go to the ABC store. You're walking in newness of life. Amen. You are now in Christ, changed by his grace. There's something in you now that's walking a different path. Walking a different path. Amen. And it just changes. It changes. I remember, I think I may have told this here before, some time back, but when God first saved me and he was dealing with me about preaching, of course, I doubted a lot about my salvation. I mean, I severely doubted. Because I'd been to so many altars, so many places, so many times, and it didn't change me. I wasn't changed. I was still the same man. I'd heard enough preaching to know if I was still the same man I was, I didn't get saved. That God would change me. I tried to change myself, but God hadn't changed me. And I didn't even know what it meant for God to change somebody. Does that mean he's just going to help me to do it? Well, that comes in part, but no is the answer to that. God does it all himself. A work of grace in your heart. He makes you new. Then he helps you to walk the way you should walk. By the Holy Spirit. So, I doubt it. I just severely doubt it. I was driving around that old 129. They call it the tail of the dragon now. And I said, Lord, I was thinking about how God changes people and how he'd bring you out. And I was looking for the time that God had done that, and I'd been praying. The devil just wearing me out with doubt. I cut around a curve, and boy, there's a big old pile of beer cans on the side of the road where somebody must have had a party the night, but that weekend before. Boxes everywhere. I mean, just that instant, it's like the Holy Spirit said, right there is where I brought you from. I realized, I hadn't even thought, how much that God had changed my life, because that was my life. I enjoyed that, and now I didn't enjoy that. Didn't want to go around it. Didn't want to be around it. What happened? Something changed in me. Something changed. God changed me. That desire I had to go get with my buddies and get out and run around and be wild and party and have a good time and listen to music and stay out all hours of the night. Are you listening to me? I had no desire to do that. No desire. I wanted the Lord. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to do something for God. I wanted to hear the word of God. I wanted to worship the Lord suddenly. There were things that were starting to build up in my life, a newness of life that I had never had. I didn't have it. Only God can do that. So resurrected new. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That's our position. We've been crucified. that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, if you go through Romans 6 and 7, it mentions continually about us serving sin, being a servant to sin. I think that's a lot different, Brother Brandon, than us messing up and sinning ever so often. See, before God saved me, I was a servant to sin. I lived for it, slave to it, captured by it. Well, now he's saying, you're not captured to sin anymore. You're not captured to that life anymore, to do what the body wants to do. The flesh lusteth. It's still going to lust. It lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. I never had that. I had the flesh lusting, but I didn't have the Spirit lusting against the flesh, screaming, I don't want to go that way. I didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of me saying, take a left, don't go right. Stop right here. Don't take another step. Don't go in that direction. Don't go with that crowd. Listen, I had the Holy Spirit speaking to me before I ever realized he was speaking to me. Why? Because I was saved. Before I ever even understood everything that was happening in my life, the newness in my life, the work of grace that God had done. It was happening automatically. There was something that was, did you sin, preacher? I did. There's still things I did. I'd get down, I'd pray, I'd ask God to forgive me, help me. Help me to overcome. Help me not do these things. I was weak in the flesh. There were places in my life I was weak in the flesh. But not like I was when I was lost. A slave, a servant. A servant to it. Amen? But the Lord wants you and I, and any of you that have studied your Bible and have studied in the book of Romans, you will have to agree that everything the Apostle Paul is saying about you and I and the Christian life in these chapters is that we do not have to live a life of sin anymore. We have been given the victory. We've been made free from that. Amen. And it ought to be a joy to you and I to know that we can overcome by God's help and grace. Amen. I can walk in the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't have to be a slave and a servant to do the things my flesh wants. It ought to be a desire to war against this man. Not to pet this man. War against him. Build up my inner man. Let him be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Be able to pray and know, like Brother Danny said, that God's helped you to bust a hole through the sky. Amen. Yes, that you know you've come before your Holy Father. Hey, that there's nothing between you and Him. There is nothing between you and Him. Now listen, we've been given victory. Been made free. He said in verse 6, knowing this. Verse 9, knowing. God wants you to know some things. Get it in your mind. Knowing Knowing you don't have to live defeated. Knowing you can overcome. Knowing your position in Christ. Listen, you need to know your position in Christ. I have died with Him, was buried with Him, and I am risen with Him. And in the eyes of God, you and I are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. We're as good as there. Because we're going. That's eternal life, friend. That's everlasting life. That's a promise. Amen. We have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Thank God for that. But He wants us, look what He said in verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. He's using that same illustration. He's saying there's no difference in sin and in this death. Christ died once, raised, and now death has no more dominion. Listen, Christ couldn't die again no matter what happened. There's no way Christ could ever die again. Past. That's happened. For the sacrifice is the only reason that it happened. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, just like that, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants you in your mind to know, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto God. I can serve God. I can serve God. I don't have to serve sin anymore. I was a servant of sin, now I'm a servant of God. I was a servant of sin, now I'm a servant of righteousness. Let not sin, verse 12, let not sin, let not sin. Boy, you ought to just keep that one tucked back behind your ear in your mind. Let not sin. Let not sin do what? Therefore, reign in your mortal body. You know what reigning means? It means it has full dominion. Has full control. Listen, the men that have conquered parts of the earth have reigned. Reigned unopposed. That's what reigning is. Somebody that has dominion unopposed. And he said, don't you let sin reign in your mortal body. This body, listen, it still has that nature. It still desires it. But we have something greater in us. And the Apostle Paul just now said, don't you let sin reign in that mortal body. Don't you let sin cause that body to just lay over and do whatever it wants to do. Now that really kills the idea that a lot of these guys on TV have that they can serve God with their spirit and soul and serve sin with the flesh. That's not what Paul was saying when he mentioned that. He said, let not sin therefore reign your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. It's obey. Obey. Should I obey it? No. Should I do it? No. You have that choice.
Let not sin. Say no.
Like Nancy Reagan, amen, back in the day when they was putting on the anti-drug campaign. Just say no. When it wants to cause you to obey it, you see, it doesn't want you to just do it. It wants you to obey it. That denotes you're weaker, and we're not. We're weaker in the flesh than we are in the faith. Grace will abound over sin. Romans 5, I talked to you about that in the very beginning. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. You're stronger in faith than you are in flesh. You are. Many of us think we have very little faith. Listen, it just takes a little faith to move a whole mountain. You're stronger in faith than you are in the flesh. If we just stop for a moment and say, I'm not going to obey. No, I'm not. Listen, you have a decision. You can choose. You can choose to have victory. You do have victory. Brother Milton Taylor preaches that message in Romans 6. Know, reckon, yield, obey. Complete victory for the Christian life. Verse 13, neither yield. Yield means you just surrender. You've surrendered to it. You don't have to surrender. You can fight against it. You can pray. Just like those nests the devil tries to build in our minds sometimes. Those fiery darts he's shooting at us. I remember my granddaddy said, it's not a sin when the devil shoots one of them darts at you. Or one of them foul birds tries to start building. But it's when you just let it build a nest there. Just let it whirl around in there and you begin to yield to it, that's when it becomes sin. Don't yield to it. Don't yield to it. The devil says, pull in here. Don't. Don't yield to it. Don't give it what it wants. You have victory. You can walk in victory. You can rejoice in victory, that you're in Christ, to remember that. I mean, just start remembering who you are in Christ, saved by His grace. I've been made new by His hand. By His hand. Remind yourself that God did a work of grace in your life when you were blind and when you were obedient to the flesh and you did yield and you had no choice. Now you have a choice. Ain't that good? Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. I like that phrase, that form of doctrine. This refers to these gospel truths that Paul is making clear right here. You see, he's arguing to these Romans because some of them, you've heard the saying, it's still around today. When in Rome, do as the Romans. Not for the child of God. No, no, that's what Paul was saying. Yeah, I know you're Roman. Don't live like a Roman anymore. You're saved. You say you're saved. You don't live like a Roman anymore. You don't yield to these strange gods anymore. And Paul knew what it was to be a Roman. He's
said, Brother Mark, I thought he was a Hebrew. He is. He's a Roman citizen too. That's amazing, ain't it? That the Apostle Paul, Hebrew of the Hebrews, was also a Roman citizen. That's why he could preach to both of them. He knew exactly how both of them lived, what they did, what they faced. And he had victory in his life. And he knew. And he said, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Christianity is here, or the Christian life. Paul's, when he says that form of doctrine, he's talking about like a cast, a mold, or a die. And he said this form of doctrine, this form of doctrine is what molds us. We're all cast into the same mold. That's why brothers in Christ can have great fellowship. No matter where you meet them, Brother Jerry, they're the same. We've all been cast into the gospel mold. All made new. All saved by grace. All in Christ. All of us have died, was buried, risen again, walking in newness of life. Have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God be thanked that we obeyed. That's all it took. Obedience from the child of God. Just obedience. It's all God wants. Obedience. If we do what God asks us to do, we will live in victory. Just obey that form of doctrine. When we know God has said, I'm not saying you're never going to have a struggle with sin. You're going to continue to have a struggle with sin till the day you die. Till we get rid of this flesh. But it's not saying you have to yield or become a servant or a slave to it anymore. You don't. Lord mercy. We're cast into a mold, and the Word of God is stamped on our heart. Amen. Thank God. God be thanked. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. We are now servants. We have more strength to live right than we have to do wrong. It takes a lot of going against, I'm going to say this and I'm done. It takes a lot of struggling against God and against our spirit to get us to the place where we're just living a defeated, sinful life. Why? Because we've been made free. We've been made servants of righteousness. Servants of righteousness. Thank God. Victory. Victory. Salvation. Change. Saved by God's grace. New. Free. Free. Not bound anymore. Not feeling that condemnation anymore. Paul said, there's therefore now no condemnation. Boy, I don't have to walk around feeling lost anymore. Free. Free. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand.